That was a great speech, Bob. Thank you very much. I look forward to getting a copy of those remarks. They were terrific. Can you hear me okay in the back? Without reacting at all, I can try to interpret that. Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon, and the University of Pittsburgh represent one of the examples that Bob just referred to as a case of the city's universities turning their attention quite explicitly and intentionally to the economic development and the welfare of the city in which they're located. And it's a great story. The Pittsburgh story is really quite significant and important, at least to Pittsburghers, but I think it's also important to the country and to the world. There's something to be learned from this. From 1980 to 1982, actually, in a span of 18 months, Pittsburgh lost 120,000 jobs when almost all the steel mills in Pittsburgh closed in a very short period of time. Pittsburgh is not a large city. Then the city itself had about 500,000 people, and the metropolitan area only about 2 million. 120,000 jobs lost in that period of time is social and economic devastation. That Pittsburgh, 30 years later, less than that, would be hosting the G20 summit is really kind of amazing. In fact, no one was more surprised than Pittsburgh itself. The story goes when President Obama's press secretary announced that Pittsburgh would host the G20 last year, there was laughter in the press room, as in, Pittsburgh, you gotta be kidding. Well, it turns out that the real gift of hosting the G20 is that about 2,500 journalists traveled with the G20, and every one of them had to file a story answering the question, why Pittsburgh? And the answer, of course, is Pittsburgh had made a remarkable, well, maybe not so remarkable, but a notable recovery from that social and economic devastation of less than 30 years before. And the way it was done was a lot of hard work by a lot of Pittsburghers, something that Pittsburghers are very familiar with, and the universities have played a very important role. First, it should be observed that Pittsburgh is unusual among American cities in having two major research universities in it. In fact, it's the only city its size that can claim that. The others, so you're not spending the rest of your time trying to think of them, let me try to tick them off for you. Boston, Cambridge, New York, of course, Atlanta, Emory and Georgia Tech. Help me out here. Chicago, LA, San Francisco, if you're very broad, and Bay Area, let's say that. And that's about it. Can you think of any more? And of course, they're all much bigger than Pittsburgh. The other thing is, Carnegie Mellon and University of Pittsburgh are literally right next door to each other. And no other pair of universities, major research universities, can make that claim. Over the last 20 years especially, we have worked very hard to leverage that. Some numbers. In 1982, after we lost those 120,000 jobs, the two universities together had total sponsored research of about $100 million. Today, 28 years later, we have $1 billion. It increased by a factor of 10. Now the AAU, which Bob is president of, estimates that every $1 million of sponsored research produces about 30 jobs, 29 to be exact. That's direct jobs plus the multiplier effect. So you can do the math. $1 billion is like 30,000 jobs. So Bob's right, universities play a very important role in providing jobs, and in a city the size of Pittsburgh, 30,000 jobs is a lot of jobs. The University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, which is a separately incorporated entity from the University of Pittsburgh, but their numbers are included in that billion, is now the largest employer by far in the city of Pittsburgh. Something else has happened, especially in the last 10 years, and here Carnegie Mellon has been a leader and a real contributor to our city. And here I'm talking about the technology companies spun out of the universities, which Bob also referred to. In Carnegie Mellon's case, before 1997, the year I came, we were spitting out about two companies per year, not very significant or noteworthy. We made an effort to increase that, and we increased it to about 5 companies per year. In 2005, we did something unique up till that time in the following sense. First of all, we're a private research university. We embraced economic development as one of our high strategic priorities for two reasons. One is we wanted to be a good citizen to Pittsburgh, but also be out of total self-interest. For us to compete with other universities for the faculty and students we want, we needed to have a vibrant technology sector in Pittsburgh, we thought. And anything that contributed to the vibrancy in general to Pittsburgh was good for Carnegie Mellon. So we adopted this as one of our priorities. We looked at our technology transfer policy and changed it radically. Our provost made a brilliant observation, which seems simple in retrospect. Most brilliant observations are. He recognized that the way the process worked then, and still works at most other universities, was broken and didn't make any sense. Because the way it works is this. You invent something, you the faculty member, you present yourself to the tech transfer office, and you disclose your invention. And then you say, I'd like to start a company. And the tech transfer office says, great, let's negotiate. Some weeks or months or maybe never later, you get to an agreement and the faculty member goes and starts the company. The observation that he made is this. The minute a university and its faculty start negotiating with each other, you've lost something. Because no matter how it comes out, the message we've conveyed is your interests and ours are not aligned. How dumb is that? Let's get rid of the negotiation. And thus was born the policy we call 5% and go in peace. Now the faculty member shows up, says, I want to start a company. We say, great, just prove to us you're not going to blow up the world, you know, and it's legal. Sign here, give us a 5% equity stake, which is we can only protect it from dilution by putting in more money, and go in peace. Now we generate between 10 and 15 startups a year. We're second in the country in the number of startups per $1 million of sponsored research. And not only that, the faculty are thrilled. They're happy. To our great shock, we had an advisory board in a couple years ago in computer science, I think. And the advisory board reported to us at the end, your faculty are very happy about your tech transfer policy. We had to stop the proceedings, and the provost and I looked at each other and started to laugh. We just couldn't believe it. The faculty are delighted, and we are making a real contribution to Pittsburgh. Another thing we did was to build a building on our campus right after the internet bubble burst. It was the ultimate speculative thing, specifically to attract large technology companies to set up engineering and research centers in Pittsburgh. It has succeeded to a degree we never thought possible. Within a year, that building was filled with Apple, Intel, and Google, the only building in the world with those three in it. And Google, in fact, yesterday I was at the dedication ceremony for Google's new headquarters in a part of Pittsburgh called East Liberty. Any Pittsburghers here? Come on, they're always part of the Pittsburgh diaspora somewhere. How many Steelers fans are there?
Nobody from Pittsburgh admits in New York they're from Pittsburgh.
I'm shocked by this. Usually I see people rip open
their
shirts.
Where are you from?
We'll get to that later. Okay. Now I'm a Pittsburgher. I are a Pittsburgher, to quote a famous U.S. president, or paraphrase him. Google just opened a phenomenal new headquarters or new engineering center in a part of Pittsburgh called East Liberty. Now that would be like saying, I don't know, choose your most blighted area of whatever city you're from, including New York, if there are any blighted areas left in New York. And that would be East Liberty. For someone to get up to in front of people and say, Google is in East Liberty, to people who have left Pittsburgh long ago, it's a total shock. It's a phenomenal success. So Pittsburgh not only has a vital and vibrant economy, it's cool too. We have Google. Just One other indicator of the success of Pittsburgh. Carnegie Mellon and University of Pittsburgh and University of Pittsburgh Medical Center are co-located in a neighborhood of Pittsburgh called Oakland. If Oakland were a separately incorporated city, it would be the third largest central business district in the state of Pennsylvania. It's extremely active. And in fact, the vacancy rate 2 years ago for office space in Oakland was zero at the height of the recession. So things are really very active. I should add that the leaders of the universities have been very active as leaders in the community with regard to economic development. My predecessor spent countless days, he had something like 150 community meetings around the metropolitan area, trying to convince Pittsburghers that innovation, technology-based development were the key to Pittsburgh's future. He provided outstanding leadership, and it had a very big impact. All right, so that's the half-full glass part of the story. I have to end, though, with the half-empty part. Pittsburgh, as a city, struggles in a lot of ways still. Now the population in the city of Pittsburgh is 350,000. It's the only major city in the United States to have lost population every decade since World War II. It finally bottomed out, but it's not yet started to grow. Pittsburgh is half the size that it was 50 years ago. The metropolitan area has grown. I mean, the suburban area has grown. So the metropolitan area is about the same as it was 30 years ago. Of course, the city tax base has eroded dramatically as a result of this exodus of people from the city. And Pittsburgh as a city is broke financially, which creates a lot of the problems, and I'm guessing that Ruth is going to talk about this as well. We are the major employers. We are viewed as greedy and not shouldering our fair share in terms of supporting the city because we are tax exempt. And I'm sure it's something we can talk more about later. In fact, our young mayor, who otherwise very dynamic and interesting, he became mayor when he was 26, got on the Letterman show because he was the youngest mayor in America. Immediately after his election last November, 2 days later, proposed a tuition tax, a 1% tax on tuition on every student, college student in the city of Pittsburgh. One of the dumbest ideas the world has ever seen. Understandable in his sort of simple-minded calculus of, I got a budget that has a deficit. I got a bunch of rich kids coming to Carnegie Mellon. What's 1%? In fact, he was quoted saying that. What's 1% added to a $40,000 tuition bill? They'll never even notice. He was also quoted as saying, college students are a burden on the city of Pittsburgh. Anyhow, so we have our challenges too. And just one, it's not unique to Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh has it to an extreme. It's remarkably fragmented politically. There are, city of Pittsburgh is in Allegheny County. There are 88 political jurisdictions in Allegheny County. Pittsburgh is only one of them. With 88 school districts, 88 police departments, 88 fire departments, and that's just Allegheny County. My field actually is water resources. And just to show you how fragmented we can be, there are 5,000 entities in the United States of America that provide water services or sewage services or both. 1,000 of them are in the 10-county region of Southwest Pennsylvania. 20% of all of them are in my hometown. We have our challenges, but it's a great story, and it shows the impact that the modern research university can have and has had on one American city. Thank you very much.